Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Of the Female Solution Radio Television Network. I do apologize for any feedback that you're receiving now.
I think you'll have to mute your phone so we can bring you up on StreamYard, but I think your device isn't connected yet. Okay, so, uh-oh, I guess you have to unmute your phone.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
All right. I'm going to do, let's see, let's try that. Okay, now if I bring up on StreamYard, but your camera isn't on yet. So let me unmute. All right, So perhaps we can try that again. And
I am going to do is I left the studio. We're trying to do this technical stuff. We need an engineer, you all. You see, we're specialists in being on the show and being all that we can be as far as hosts and gathering the people together to talk and bring sometimes provocative conversation to the masses. But as far as engineers, I'm not good at this at all. So we will try again. But in the meantime, again, I want to welcome everybody to this episode of Move Around with Deborah. This is certainly a challenging time as we move around. And when I say move around, I'm talking about travel. Travel is definitely back on board, and I hope that you are preparing. Now, I know that there are still challenges out there with health and ecology, and we just want to make sure that we are all properly prepared as we move around. But we're not going to be able to stay in our cocoons forever. We're going to have to get out. And that saying, us getting out, is moving around from our own abodes. I mean, we've got to go out. We've got to shop. We've got to go see the physicians. I know that the internet is something that most folks are working through. They're communicating. Matter of fact, I communicate on a regular basis with my extended family. And actually, we're communicating even more because we all live in different states, different areas of the country. So it is amazing how we have now been brought together by focus of Zoom and other peripherals that are available to us in fellowshipping. But we need that touchy-feely. We need that human touch. Everybody wants that human touch. And I know that sometimes we get into a situation where we just don't want to get out. But getting out is what you have to do. So prepare yourself, and prepare yourself to travel. I mean, it's amazing the world that is around us, the opportunities where we can become educated, and education does not stop when you leave school. No, education stops when you're no longer a part of this earthly being. And I don't know, maybe education continues when you go to the other side. That is certainly a possibility. I haven't been there, so I cannot say yes, that is a fact, or no, it isn't. But I do know that travel is amazing, and I myself have begun to travel. Now, we are still working on this camera issue with me. I like to come to you via StreamYard and Facebook, but it seems that for some reason my network isn't working to provide the camera. So we'll just have to come to you from audio until we get it together. But nevertheless, travel is something that we have to prepare for. Just like you plan a meal, you have to plan for your travel. And you have to know what your needs are. You have to address the the opportunity, the possibilities of everybody who's traveling with you, not just for you, unless you're traveling alone. And if you're traveling alone, you certainly really have to plan in a different way. But planning is so important in travel. And sometimes we forget some of the minute forms and steps in that planning. But I want to bring to you today some of those opportunities that you need to focus on. And not only that, the note monster came and got my other page of notes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we have a note monster. You know how you have cookie monsters? They come and take the cookies. Oh, my note monster.
Yeah, I think I got that note monster in my house, too. Yeah, I know.
I know. And sometimes when you don't have your list, you like, oh, my goodness. So I do know that I always like to focus on flying. That's my primary mode of distant transportation now, because I just don't have the stigma to drive or to ride the distances that I once had before. Now, that's not negating the fact that we have to do that, because that is definitely something of automobile, train, and other types of vehicles that we travel around the world and across the country on. It's necessary. I know in
Europe. Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question. Or, you know, a lot of people are becoming increasingly hysterical about various things that may be required, and especially if they have been used to regularly being able to travel outside of the country. And because some countries are a little bit leery of people coming from outside because of COVID, they have not allowed Americans to come into their country. Do you keep a current list of things like that, such as travel bans, or I know that there's been talk about requiring people to show a vaccination record in order to, I don't know if it's to purchase tickets. I haven't been planning to leave the country lately, so I haven't really worried about it, but I know that there are people who, because of business or maybe family that lives abroad, they're planning to possibly have to leave the country or hoping to be able to leave the country, but they're concerned because different countries are kind of not letting Americans come, because I guess our COVID rates are still high and our contamination rates seem to be growing. So what do your current lists tell you in terms of any countries that are making any particular requests for vaccination records or just flat out saying, you know, from America you can't come, you're not welcome? I mean, has it gotten to that point in certain countries?
What happens is each country has its own set of rules, and the rules are so fluid that it may have one rule this morning, and this afternoon it's another rule. I mean, look at even our own location. We happen to be in the Midwest in a major metropolitan city, and the city put down a mandate for masking again. That went into effect on Friday, and on Thursday, the county put out a mandate that Monday masks are required countywide. Now, it's not for the state, and that's just for our state. So it varies now with different states and cities and even school districts. Everybody is just up in the air. So it is so fluid that any list that may be put out today will change tomorrow. As far as traveling to other countries, I mean, Canada just began allowing Americans in across the border into Canada last week, and you have to show inoculation cards. And now that in itself is so flimsy because they just arrested a doctor the other day that was selling cards over the internet. So,
wow.
You know.
Always find a way to everything.
Yeah.
Illegal. I mean,
so,
people always, the crooked mind will always figure out a way to do things wrong.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Make them
now, even in regular travel instances, there is a website, travel.us.gov, that tries to keep up with what the current travel status is. And I mean, they even have it to where it's okay for you to travel, or it's a high alert. They suggest not you travel, and then in some cases you cannot travel too. And that's for Americans going into other countries. And that's typically good, but I would suggest that anyone who is traveling to another country, if they're allowed, first off, you need to have a passport, and in some cases a visa. Now, passports, if your passport is scheduled to expire within a year, I suggest you go now and get that passport renewed, because the lines, the delay in getting the return of a passport is so great, you don't want to wait. And I say within a year, because in some places, your passport has to be valid. Say if you were to travel to another location today, your passport has to be valid at least 6 months prior to the date of your return. So if you're returning next week, your passport has to be good for another 6 months after next week. And that's to get back into the country. Now, yeah, so you want to make sure that you have your documents, and you can only have one valid passport, but I would suggest that you have your copy of your passport, two copies, one that you leave home with your emergency contact person, and the other that you take with you and store it in a separate location than you would your official passport. That way, if something happens, you would have that document, because you're not going to be able to use your driver's license or your state ID in other countries. That's not valid.
You know what I would suggest? Also, what I would suggest is have a digital copy of it in your phone. Take a photograph of it, so that it's stored in your phone, and even email it to yourself just in case something happens to your phone. You can always pull up your email. But if you have it where
it's stored
in a place that you can access it anywhere, just being able to get online and get to your email, I think that covers all the bases. Because sometimes you're someplace where, you know, I had a friend that went overseas and got robbed, you know, and all their stuff was gone. And so you can imagine, when you have no ID to show who you are, and if you're someplace where you don't have, if you decide to travel and you are not connected with a group of people and you're somewhere, you know, by yourself, you know, you have to find somebody who can help you and help you even though you don't have anything to show who you are. So that means you have to have a way that you can access your information, even if you have nothing physical on you. And that's why I would always suggest, you know, email a copy of your documents to yourself so it's always stored somewhere, I guess, what, in the cloud?
You're absolutely right.
It is.
Yeah, that is something that I need to put on my list. You know, we're still old school. I'm not. But emailing is something that... jotting that down in my notes. because I want to share that with so many people that come in and ask me about this, and we never focused on what we could do with the emails. I do emails for validation on contracts and whatnot. So, yes, emailing is good. If you email it to yourself, you have access no matter where, as long as you have internet access. Yes.
Right.
Another thing that even though the date has been pushed back, I think it's now March 2023, the real ID. If you're going to get your driver's license renewed, you might as well get the real ID now when you go to the renewal, because that is coming, and you'll need that to travel, to fly domestically across the country. You'll need that real ID, and I'm sure they'll be using that for other reasons as well. So identification is important.
Tracking,
you
know. Go ahead. You know, I didn't realize, you know, pardon me. Here in Chicago, when on the public transportation, when they first got that that bus card, I forgot what it's called because I haven't used it in a while, but it's some kind of travel card that you keep putting money on it, and it's a permanent, you know, public transportation card. I didn't realize it also had a tracking mechanism, so you could look up that person's card and see where they have been. So if they lose the card, you can see where was the last place they had been, or if they come up missing, you can see where was the last place they've been because the card tracks you. Each card has a number and all that. And I didn't realize that. So I'm just looking at technologically what we're able to do in terms of verifying who a person is, where they've been, how long they were there. We really kind of have the technology to identify every single person on the planet and track where they go at every moment, anytime they enter. Well, your cell phone is a tracking device. So, I mean, I'm looking at the fact that nobody ever needs to be a stranger, because there are ways to verify who you are, where you've been, you know, and all those things. I'm just looking at how can we make, in your opinion, how do you think we can make it more efficient? Say if a person has, like, their real ID you mentioned, and you know, they go to the airport, you can scan their ID. Instead of there being all of this, I don't know, I guess they have an issue with the whole security thing. Sometimes they get excessive. And I'm
just
thinking,
just
you can
just
see
like
who
we
you
talked
are.
About the doctor.
No, you're probably not a terrorist.
Yeah, but just like you were saying, how the crooks, the criminals find ways to get through where the man was selling the COVID identifications, crooks find ways to get through the layers of security. So they have to have multiple layers of security in place, because folks have been getting through, and they are still getting through. I mean, you look at all the guns that are found from people going through security, I'm sure that there are some that's not found. There's some that you slip through. People are going to get through, but if you have multiple lines of security, multiple levels, then you won't have such easy accessibility for some folks. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Of course, they know where you are, just like they're tracking our phone conversation. They track our computer and what we say through our computers. They track. So, if they really wanted to find out who you are and what you are, they can find it. You think you may be deleting something off of your computer or off of your phone, but it is still there. The fingerprint or the footprint is still there.
And if they really wanted to find you or find out what you're doing, they can. They already do. So I'm surprised I didn't hear that about the CTA bus card, but I am not surprised. I am not surprised that any of those, when you see a barcode on something that has the multiple information, your luggage tag, you know, when you put your luggage tag on your luggage, that is all of your information. So when you destroy your luggage tag or you throw it away, take it off to throw it away, make sure you destroy it and not just throwing it where somebody can pick it up who has the information to read it and get your information.
I never thought of that. The barcode on
that
your tag makes you destroy it so that it can't be used to get your personal information.
That's right. Wow. Anything that has barcode on it, it's information. You see so many barcodes. You can even get a commercial on television now. And they say, put your phone up to the barcode and get more information about this. I believe sandals is one of the travel industries that are doing it. Just put your phone up to the barcode and you'll get more information. So, yeah, those barcodes, don't handle them lightly. They have plenty of information, and that is technology as we continue on. Luggage tags, used to be the hotel keys, those automated keys that you just put up to your door now. It opens the door. We used to stick them in. Now you just slide them across the door. Hold on to those. Because that information is there, and it is not going away. It's only going to get more elaborate. So prepare for it. But as far as your first question and the safety of traveling to other countries, check the country. Check the consulate. Make sure that when you're traveling to these places, you have a consulate telephone number, an embassy telephone number. So if you do get in harm's way, you call that embassy because that's going to be your first lifeline to something. You know, if you get arrested and they say call your lawyer, you call that embassy if you don't have a lawyer's number. That is something that your travel advisor, if you have a planner that helps you plan your journey, they should be able to get that information for you and provide it to you. But planning any journey, if you're going down the street, you plan your route. Am I right?
That's true. Now, I got a question. I got another question. The advice that you just gave for people who are in other countries, is that also applicable for people who are coming from other countries and they come to America and some weird thing happens and, you know, they end up either arrested or detained or something and they see that they don't have, you know, or they're not American citizens, should they go to an American embassy? Should they go to, I mean, who can you call here? If something happened to somebody in Chicago, who do you call if you're from, say, you know, Morocco?
They should go to their own embassy or have contact. I believe there's a Moroccan embassy in Chicago. Chicago has many embassies. But they should know someone to contact before they leave home. Yeah, they need to know that even if they have to call someone in Washington, D.C. or wherever, they need to have emergency contact information because you don't want something to happen to you on Friday night and nobody's in the office till Monday morning.
Yeah, that was my thought because I'm thinking, you know, people don't have to answer the phones on the days of the week. You call City Hall.
Right.
So, I'm thinking, what happens when you get these animated, you know, these automated systems? They can't understand what you're saying, and it's frustrating. Would recommend that a person has, like, a live person in another place that they're visiting? Because I've known people that travel. I mean, my daughter, she likes to travel, and she doesn't always necessarily have friends in the place where she's going to. My concern is always, okay, well, if something happens, who do you call for help? Because, you know, if you don't know anybody, then how are people going to respond to you? So what about people who like to just go places, maybe they don't know anybody? Are the embassies or government structures responsive enough on a 24-hour basis
They should be, and before you leave home, you put your plan in place. And if one number, you're not comfortable with one number, and you've contacted them already prior to you leaving, you've already spoken to someone and got in a plan of action and a backup plan. So that's all part of the planning before you leave home. So it's time for our first commercial session. We have to address our advertisers. And we have a few guests on the line. Thank you all for being here listening. If you'd like to join into the conversation, please press 1 to let me know that you want to be a part of this and give your input or your experience or your ideas. And we will speak further with you about that. And for those of you who are listening, you can always give us a call at 1-515-605-9325. That's 1-515-605-9325. And press 1 to speak and share with us. We would right back.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605, and we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
All right. Well, we're back. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. You could have been somewhere else, and I hope you have a pencil and paper, because I know that there's some information that's being shared today that you need to know about. We're on the line now with our executive producer, Naima Latif, and we are talking about travel. Now, what I want is for those folks that's on the line, if you just press one, we can certainly bring you into the conversation and have a good old time while we're still here. We were talking about security, safety, TSA. That's another thing, TSA pre-check. That's another level of security. So typically I like it because you don't have to take your laptop out of your bag. As far as other electronics, you don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to take your belt off and that type of thing when you're going through TSA. Typically, now sometimes you still are subject to checks and rechecks, but again, as part of the level of security that you have to go through when you're going through the airport. Now, if you're going
through, I got another question.
Yes, go ahead.
Because remember, Deborah, when we went to our retreat in Florida, all of us happened to be over 60. But this is the first time I'd actually requested a wheelchair. And we all kind of did that. And as a result, we kind of got the first-class treatment, you know, got through the lines and didn't have to, as you say, go through the whole, you know, take your shoes off and all of this. To the degree, well, not to the degree that others did. I mean, you still have to put your things to the conveyor belt and go through security, but there was a different level of security for those who had pre-checked and also had requested wheelchairs. But I have had some nightmares of even when I was with my mother and we were on our way to Boston to my niece's graduation, and you know, she's in her 90s, I think she was 95 at the time, in a wheelchair, and also, you know, she's sight impaired. So one of the things that was frustrating was that she had a tube of toothpaste. I mean, you know, you carry toothpaste because you brush your teeth, and the TSA is going through her bag because she likes to carry like a carry-on bag, and you know, they pull out her toothpaste and say, oh, well, you can't carry this. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, you know, in my best days, I could not think chemically how you could make any kind of explosive out of toothpaste. I'm thinking, and this is, obviously this is, you know, an elderly woman who's not going to, I mean, I just think, I mean, that takes, there's a lot of paranoia to feel like, okay, just in case she could be planning to bomb our flight with toothpaste. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like there's a point where the security isn't really security. It's harassment, and it's not making anybody safe. And we missed that flight because they wanted to go through everything in her bag, and then, you know, then they made a whole big deal about going through everything in my bag. And it was all because of a tube of toothpaste. And you know, I was just livid. My mother's trying to keep me calm because I have a boiling point where the smile comes off, and then the dragon that I keep chained in the basement and nobody can see, that gets loose, and then I just become this monster. So she's trying to, you know, when I get that point, you ever seen that in the movie, the Hulk, you know, where the TV show, where the guy, he would, this, you know, real logical doctor and everything, but if you made him mad or caused him pain, he would burst into this green beast. So I kind of have a temper like that. So they push that boiling point. I'm like, toothpaste, she's 98 years old in a wheelchair. What is she going to do with toothpaste? And then you make me miss my flight. So I was just so angry. Anyway, my point is,
well, calm down, because you're saying a couple of things that are should have been pre-known to you.
first off, there is a restriction. Three things of liquid at 3 ounces in clear bags, and it tells you toothpaste over 5 ounces is not allowed.
Yes.
I don't know how.
Yeah, you know, we're taking our
there are rules that you have to go through because folks can make bombs or other types of equipment from out of these things. And it, you know how you have the hidden cans? It looks like a can of aerosol spray or a can of foam, and it's a hidden bottom, and it's actually storing something else. Because these things have happened, and they have gone through this, and security is in place for these particular things. You'd be surprised how many older people and even babies have been subject to carry illegal products across the country and through security and whatnot, because people would not imagine that they would do that. And this is all part of levels of security that they've already gone through. You see, we as layperson, we don't hear about the things that go on behind the scenes, how folks try to take explosives and other different types of materials into a plane that may cause damage. So they have to cover everything. And I know it's unfortunate, it's unusual, especially for some folks who don't travel, who are like, okay, why? But another thing that I heard in this conversation is you missed your flight. Well, if you hadn't got to the airport 2 hours prior to your flight boarding. If you hadn't got to the airport 2 hours prior to your flight boarding, there would have been enough time, the flexible time in between, for you to have gone through these challenges and still been at your flight on time. And even though a lot of folks, and in for international flights, it's like 3 to 4 hours. And folks say, why, we got to sit over here so long on the other side waiting for the plane? Because you never know when you will go through these challenges or when the line is super long. Because had your mom not been in a wheelchair, you would not have been able to pass by all those folks in line either. You know, remember those long lines that we were able to pass by?
Because the whole thing, like, okay, we got the wheelchair privileges, I guess, but then to get stopped at that point, and it went on and on going through all her little things. I mean, you know, and of course, elderly people, they carry
just
a lot of different medications
or
whatever.
It's like when the police stop you and they tell you you can't have this, just let it go. You have to let it go because it's in place. Those things are in place. And now if you have if there is a ruckus or some pushback on the rules, the FAA is now arresting people.
Oh, yeah, you were there. You were there when they put those people off the plane.
Yes.
On the way to the floor.
And because there was kind of arguments, two people were getting
But I guess my question is,
and they're charging you for the delay of flight and the time and whatnot. And so it's really serious now. It's no joke. But again, just let it go. You can get toothpaste on the other end.
Yeah,
just let it go.
I mean, you know, I guess my question is, yeah, well, I guess my question is, with all of the technology that can identify every single person, there has to be some type of profile of who would be most likely to I mean, of course, we talk about, you know, it's not good to profile people. You know, they're probably a crook because they look like this. They're probably a crook because they look like that. But I don't see it as profiling in terms of how someone looks, because that is ridiculous. You don't know what a person's done based on how they look. But because you can have access to their true identity in so many ways, I mean, everybody's got a Facebook page, they're on LinkedIn, it's just like in an instant you really can find out exactly who that person is. And if there are no...
You cannot find out exactly who a person is, because what is one of the things when somebody does something, when somebody kills something, the first thing you say, oh, I didn't know that they were like that or they were capable of that. Nobody really knows. So they have to have these security features in place to save the world as much as cautiously as they can. And it may get worse. It may get better. Now it is, there was going to be a relief. I think September 8th, there was no longer going to be a mask mandate. Well, now with everything changing around, and I'm talking about on the airlines and the airports and the FAA, I believe that will be canceled, because now folks are going back into mask mandates, and there is no social distancing on an airplane. There's no way you can social distance on an airplane. So you have to mask up. And I wish I had my visual. My computer's not working properly. I wish I had my visual. I had two masks on. I had a shield mask and I had a face covering mask. And my shield mask, they said, okay, you're going to have to wear that face covering mask, that mask that goes over your mouth and your nose. And it has to be on throughout the entire flight unless you're eating or drinking. And now most short flights, you're not eating or drinking, so I just sleep. So, but that is something that's in place as well to help eliminate the germs beyond COVID. You know, it was folks that had germs before COVID, but now with that being so prevalent, folks are afraid, and people are getting sick. That's real. And there are people who have immune systems that are not stable enough to withstand any kind of germs. So, but are they restricted to where they can't travel? No. You want to be able to get out and enjoy your life as much as we can before we no longer have our life.
Well, I remember, I think it's, well, I know China has a really bad pollution problem. So when I was there on public transportation, a lot of people were wearing masks, you know, facial coverings, just because of the dense pollution, which sometimes drifts over into other neighboring countries, such as South Korea, which when I was there, also on heavy pollution days, people wore masks. So mask wearing hasn't really been that strange to a lot of places that were doing it before. And then I was told also, my daughter was explaining also that, yeah, I think it's mandatory, like if you have a cold and you go to work, you're supposed to wear a mask. Or if your child comes to school and they got sniffles or whatever, you know, they're supposed to wear a mask. So that's kind of been within the culture of some places already, which is why so many masks are made in China, because they've been doing this with mask wearing. But do you think that because of what you just said, there's so many other germs that get spread when people travel that ultimately we're going to see a permanent mask mandate for travel?
I don't know if it'll be a permanent mask mandate, but it will be acceptable. A mask wearing will be more acceptable in our country. And you talk about the pollution. Well, look at the fires in California and how the smoke has drifted, not even from California, but the fires from Canada, how the smoke has drifted across the country. And sometimes our air quality is terrible. And you want to wear a mask. I mean, you look at on the 4th of July and with all the fireworks going off and whatnot, you want to wear a mask. So I think masks are here to stay. The mandate, I don't believe it will be kept in place because of folks and their legal rights, their human rights to or not to. I think that conversation will go on for centuries. But masks are here to stay. So prepare. Mm-hmm. Now,
I'd like to know what our listeners and viewers think about that. Do you think masks are here to stay? Is that now going to be a permanent part of our culture, even for our children? And what do you think about that? What do you think the impact there will be? If you're on our switchboard now, press 1 if you got a comment.
Please.
If you're watching us live on Facebook, feel free to write in your comments. I mean, that would be very difficult, I think. I remember years ago, back in the 70s, they would talk about how bad the pollution was, and they were predicting in the future everybody would be walking around with gas masks on. You've seen those big contraptions, you know, horrible.
Yes.
But that would be the prediction of the world of the future, maybe, you know, 50 years from now or 30 years from now, whatever. Back then in the 70s, they were predicting this because pollution had gotten so bad. And then now, in some, like I said, it is a regular thing to wear, you know, the face covering that's supposed to, I don't know what's supposed to do, filter out germs, I guess, I don't know. But the idea of not being able to step outside without a facial covering, that sounds so odd because no other species is doing it, and don't we have some type of, the natural immune system is supposed to kick in and prevent us. I mean, why is ours working?
Because of the chemicals that are in the air. See, the chemicals are not natural. So the natural shields that we have are not able to work because what we're being infused with is not natural. And you say that is something that is unheard of, you would think. But at one time, we had no problem getting in the car without putting a seatbelt on. So at some point, there were no seatbelts. You know,
yeah,
but now
you feel unshielded
without putting that seatbelt on. So it's just a sign of the time. And everybody's not going to wear a mask all the time. And that's okay. You don't have to. But you have to know for yourself to protect yourself. And if you feel as though you're in an environment that you're not comfortable with, you need to put that mask on, then put that mask on. But the person who's looking at you putting that mask on should not feel as though you're an odd person out because you have a mask on. Do not be judgmental for others who have those masks and who have gloves. You know, we have people who have to live in bubbles. Physically.
Yeah.
Bubbles.
Have an immune system. Right.
Because
so
of their
now,
immune system.
So, I mean, that's understandable for those who really have, you know, some severe acquired immune deficiency situations where
but
they...
But why is it understandable for them and not understandable for someone who has a mild case?
Well, I guess
we have
my
to
thought
that
is...
Because us at one time. It might be us one day.
Well, you know, that's I guess that's what my question is. I mean, you know, we're sharing this earth with dogs, cats, birds, all other kind of oxygen-breathing mammals. So my question is, how are they able to function normally and we're not seeing hordes of them dropping dead and yet human beings are not able to create a natural immunity to whatever's in the environment and still survive?
Well,
I mean, why are we not able to what every other species is? That's my question on that.
I'm not sure, but we have a caller here at 443-224. I'm opening up your mic. 443-224, welcome to the call. Please introduce yourself and give us up on this topic.
Can you hear me? Yes, you can.
Oh, hey, I'm just sitting back listening. I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying the conversation. So she raised an interesting point. I don't have the answer to it because I'm not an immunologist, about why cats and dogs don't get as sick or dropping dead and people are getting sick. I was listening to somebody on the TV, on the radio, and they called this a plandemic. They didn't say pandemic. They say plandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to agree because I believe that this COVID is I don't know if it's a biological, some kind of warfare agent, but it's something that was made in somebody's lab or researched. So this is, you know, there are patents on it, on the coronavirus, as well as all of these vaccines for it. So, yeah, I think it's man-made. And like what Debbie said, that it's not natural. So, like we have hairs in our nostrils, and men have a mustache. I think a lot of that is a filter, right, for heavy dust.
Yeah, that is a filter, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural filter, but we're dealing with stuff that's not natural anymore. And so you mentioned the point about wearing a mask. Will it be a new requirement? You know, it's a slight inconvenience to have a mask. I wear a mask substantially everywhere I go outside the public. And if I'm with a relative that I haven't seen in a while, I'm going to wear a mask in front of them. You know, I do some construction work, so I wear a mask, right? For fiberglass fibers, for sawdust when you're kicking up sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
People who are working on automobiles, they wear it because they're dealing with brake dust.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a small inconvenience when you, in the grand scheme of it all, you know. I mean, think about it. If I think someone else mentioned today about if your children were sick, or if you knew somebody in the school was sick, and let's assume it wasn't coronavirus, it was something else, like just a common cold or something that's less severe, I know I would have my children wear a mask or tell them, hey, you know, don't go by so-and-so, or don't touch the doorknobs with your bare hands, you know, wear these plastic gloves, or here's a bottle of Lysol, so every time before you touch the doorknob, you spray the door. You know, you would be cautious, and I would rather be high on the side of caution and wear a mask and wear a face shield, especially if I don't know the conditions of the people that I'm around. I don't know how they've been governing themselves, and so it's like what you do to protect yourself. It's not like, oh, I don't want to wear a mask because of my freedom and my right not to wear it. It's because you want to protect yourself too.
That's right. Now,
I have a question.
What's your name? Yeah. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Jerome, and I'm previously calling from Maryland, but now I'm calling from Chicago on the South Side.
Welcome, Jerome. Naima, okay. You said you have a question.
Yes. I remember when we were first having battle over people who wanted to smoke, and there was a battle over those who didn't want smokers to be able to smoke indoors in various buildings, and ultimately, you know, they had the smoking policies where you couldn't be inside a government building, couldn't be inside certain buildings, couldn't be inside a restaurant, you know, so people had to step outside. But that was a real battle, and people were talking about, I have a right to smoke, ignoring the fact that they're seriously polluting the air and causing harm to people who might have something like asthma, where they could actually trigger an attack and cause that person's death. And yet they were fighting for the right to smoke. And I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Like, how is that a right to pollute the air? So I appreciate the fact that people were conscious of everybody, and therefore you shouldn't pollute it. And I also, I did see people, like I said, in the Asian countries, they've been wearing masks for if you have a cold, because you don't want to pollute the air with your coughing and sneezing if you know you have a cold. So I do get that. But I'm having difficulty a normal or healthy reaction is the idea that masks is going to be a way of life, because there are always germs, and if your body doesn't produce an immunity to the natural germs, you're not going to be able to survive. So are we believing that masking is going to be a way of life, and is it because we're not willing to stop what we're doing to create pollution, or, you know,
yes.
What?
Yes.
That's
exactly
that, where we're projecting.
That's how
the
it's developed. That's how it's developed thus far.
So, what about the people, the environmental activists that are saying, look, we can stop, we can choose to stop polluting our air so that we can breathe and be healthy, or we can live a sickly life wearing masks to protect ourselves from the air we have polluted, or projected a germ into it for whatever reasons, whether it's for, you know, like I said, a plandemic, okay, we plan this so we can, you know, weed out the population or whatever the lot of.
So you have one activist out of a million that, you know, weighing the difference. You got a million people say, I want to do what I want to do. And you have one activist saying, hey, wait a minute, let's pay attention. We've been doing that for years. Yes, we are getting more and more awareness, but the balance is not going the proper way. And it's going to take a big event for folks to pay attention, just like the tragedy that we had, 9/11, took a big event for security levels as they are to be put in place. So it's going to continue, and we're having these events, but they're not being acknowledged. They're not being brought out. These big events that we're experiencing, the global warming, we hear a little bit about it, but it's not prevalent, like, on a constant basis. So, yeah, until people stop being selfish, which is when will that be, we're going to be in the position that we're in. But now we're a little late for our next break.
Yeah,
take a next break. I want to go to our break. And when I come back, we're going to talk about the differences in hotels, motels, Holiday Inns, and Airbnbs. How about that?
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these voices of enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
As well as here at the Female Solution, every day, Monday through Sunday, we are here providing information, lifestyle information, and improvement to everyone. Even though it's the Female Solution, it does not mean that the men cannot reap the benefits of what we have to share. Again, Monday through Sunday, we are here every day. Monday through Friday, we're here at 7 a.m., and I'm giving you time, Central Time, because I'm used to Central Time. I'm not sure what time slot you're in. This is an international broadcast, so you can be anywhere in the world, maybe even in outer space. Who knows? They have satellite there.
Yes, they do.
So 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Yes. On Saturdays, every Saturday, even the fifth Saturday, we're here from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. And on Sunday evenings, we are here from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So we can catch you whatever time. And, of course, Blog Talk, the Female Solution, has archived shows. So if you missed it, you can certainly come back and listen to our archives. We have a presence on Facebook, the Female Solution, a Facebook page. Excuse me. So we are definitely here to help out. Now, Jerome, I had you on, but I put you on mute because it sounded like you were moving around. Were you finished discussing with us what you had to share before we move on to enlighten some of the folks about the differences in hotel, motels, Holiday Inn? Are you still there, Jerome? Okay. He's moved on, and we appreciate Jerome coming on and sharing his insights. He is definitely full of valuable information, and I certainly hope that he comes on our other times to share the wisdom that he has and to receive the wisdom that we have to share with him as well. Hotels, motels, Holiday Inns. You know, the reasoning for this particular topic, and this is just part one, so I didn't mind getting that other information, that valuable information that we shared with you for the first hour, because security and you understanding how to move around the world is very vital. And each of those topics will be revisited, and we will expand on them even more in the future on Move Around with Deborah. I want to get everybody so they're ready to travel. But you need to plan. Just like I mentioned before, when you're leaving your house, you plan a route to get to the store that you're going to or wherever you're going. You've got to plan a route. You have to plan. You have to put in your mind what you're going to do, where you're going to do it, and with whom you're going to do it. Well, it's the same with travel. Now, when you plan, it could be overwhelming for you, and we understand that. That's why you research and you find the best travel advisors that you can find. I myself am a travel advisor, and that's why I know a lot of this information, and I'm here to share it with you. So if you have any questions or concerns or want to focus on a particular topic, please email me at Deborah, that's D-E-B-O-R-A-H, thefemalesolution@gmail.com. Again, send me a message to let me know what you thought about the show. And if you have any questions, concerns, disagreements, we accept them too. Let me know and email me at Deborah.thefemalesolution@gmail.com. And we will certainly answer that. I'll answer that directly. And we'll also maybe infuse it into one of the shows, because if you have that question, someone else may as well. First off, I came across this topic because I know many people are beginning to travel. They're traveling as families. They want to travel as groups. They want to fellowship a little better, and they've begun renting those Airbnb. And I say Airbnb homes because Airbnb is like the name that most people understand. But you have to know in your planning, what is it that you want? What direction do you want to go? Who's traveling with you? What is the outcome? What is your end result that you are gaining? And it doesn't have to necessarily be family. It could be friends. It could be a small corporate gathering. But that when we travel, we like to go and stay somewhere else, of course, because we're not going to stay at home and we're getting away from the office. So motels. Yes.
So Deborah, the guest home that we stayed in Florida, would that be considered like an Airbnb, bed and breakfast kind of place, because it's a whole house more or less as opposed to, hotel room?
Now Airbnbs don't necessarily have to be houses. They could be condos. They can be rooms. It's just someone who privately owns this property and is renting it out. And that's a business that a lot of people are getting into as well. That's in part two and three of this episode that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
And
I did stay in one, was that in Japan? I think it was in Japan we stayed at. It was really nice. It was, a house, and I guess in those situations you have access to the kitchen, you're cooking your own food, and, it's a home atmosphere. Because the owner.
But it comes with home activities, too, where you have to cook, clean, and
yeah.
Whereas
clean up after yourself. I guess that's one of the differences. It's just like your own house. There's no maid service, so you know you have to wash your. If you use the kitchen, you got to wash the dishes. Because we were actually sharing the house with a couple other families. Because my daughter and myself, and then there was a couple other families because they had like bedrooms, big bedrooms where people could stay.
Right.
So all sharing this house, everybody had to be conscious of putting away. You know, wash your dishes after you're done and put them away. You know, clean up after yourself when you use the bathrooms because we're all sharing the same bathroom. So I guess it's kind of like sharing a house with people, except you're probably not as messy as you are in your own house because, you know,
right.
You're strangers.
Right, and who wants to do that all the time on vacation? If you go to a motel, now understand motels are, like, mostly on the side of the road. They were created for road travel, motels, and they're not as secure. Sure, you're talking about security. Motels, I don't feel are secure. They tend to be, again, close to the highways, and they're outside entrances. Each individual room is outside entrances. Yeah, and there's no long-term stay. It's like maybe overnight or a couple of nights or something like that, and you're in and out. Then hotels can get a little bit more elaborate. Hotel rooms are typically buildings. A structure, two or more floors. They could be 50 to 200, 300, 400 rooms. Hotels, you have more of a room service capability, where motel, you don't have room service. you have cleaning service with a motel and a hotel on a daily basis. It used to be on a daily basis. Now, things are changing. Yes.
Yeah.
Even during when COVID was full-blown and I traveled, I had to go to the front desk to get any fresh tiles or sheets and that type of thing. So that was a little different. Hotels are more relaxed, where you could come together maybe in the lobby or around a pool. It could be indoor, outdoor pool. It has an exercise room, typically where you can go and get some equipment. Some of them have restaurants. If they don't have a restaurant, a lot of them were having continental breakfast. But now that's a hit or miss with the hotels. You have to make sure if that's something that you're looking for, because some of them stop. Well, all of them stopped the breakfasts, but now that travel is coming back, some of them have begun that again on a different level. Because remember, you go to a hotel, you could take the scooper and scoop out the cereal. Get your donut or get your toast and toast it, or your waffle, the waffle iron. Everybody's handling everything, and they stopped that completely. But now they've got some
But do you think that some of these things, again, are we seeing permanent cultural changes with interaction because of the fear of a spread of germs? Or do you think that once people feel like the pandemic has subsided, we'll return to more interaction with food and things like that in kitchen areas? Or do you think that the change is permanent, where it's like, you know, no common scooping of things or touching things? Because
I think change will be permanent. You know, there will be a change. I don't believe that most of the folks will be going back to the way that business was done. Especially when you're talking about food and those type of things. The food sanitation is a great aspect in how we share food. And I see the food sanitation lines or levels definitely changing. I see more individual packaging of food. I see more hirees of folks serving the food as opposed to you going out and being able to get that open bar. I haven't been in one of those buffet type restaurants, so I don't know how they're doing it here in the city. But I know on cruise lines, cruise ships, the way it used to be, where you were able to go out and do the buffet and grab your own, I know that has changed. They now
really? So they're not doing that? They have servers rather than buffet style?
Oh,
you get your own?
Oh,
have they changed the servers?
Right. Yes, they have servers now.
Wow.
Well, they already have servers, but now that food is not open to, you know, the way it used to be. Oh, no, you can't have that. Mm-mm. That's changed, and that will only get better and more efficient as you go on. So I believe the hosts follow the same suit. I can't say I haven't visited all of them, but I do see that is a change that will be put in place for good. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so then what about the bed and breakfasts? You know, there's so much, you know, still sharing and interaction. I know when I did stay at one before, when I was overseas, you know, there was, of course, pre-COVID, a lot of things that you're sharing with a stranger, like, you know, bathroom facilities, you know, everybody's taking a shower and, you know, you don't know about people's hygiene. So does something like this affect the bed and breakfast, the Airbnb industry, because people are living in, sometimes, you know, some of the facilities might be where you're sharing them with, you know, another group or something like that, if it's large enough, but it's still very common stuff like a kitchen and bathroom. So
you have to protect yourself. You have to protect yourself. And now, when even though I just visited a home, it was an Airbnb-type home, and I took my own towels. I took my own pillowcases. I did not take my own sheets. But I did look and make sure that, you know, you pull the covers back and make sure that there's no extra stuff in the sheets. And if there are dark sheets, you know, always in whenever you go to visit someplace, if they have dark sheets, you ask for new sheets. When you go into a place, even a hotel or a motel, if you're not comfortable with the cleanliness, you know, you have kind of a sense, you can request an entire new bed linens. That's including the comforters and the pillows and all that. You can request that. And take your own. If you're one of those folks that's in a situation where you're concerned about that, you take your own. I was just speaking with someone this morning, and we were talking about the need to take your own shower head. Because
really?
The water, yes. one of our own hosts, she asked if that was something that I was made aware of, if I knew of any hotel lines that had particular shower heads, because she changes her own shower head.
That's different. I do remember my daughter telling me about
that, but that is something that is real.
I
folks
mean,
are
know,
now really being particular, and
well,
there
sure,
were some hotels that accommodated her, so she's not the first one.
That's
something that
different.
We have to take into effect too, and that's something that you have to know your client. We as travel agents, and that's why I stress that if you're going to travel, if you're going to make an investment, a big investment in travel, such as taking your family and traveling overseas or doing something really extensive, and it's a big investment, you need to have someone to help you plan it. You have other folks that help you plan different things. You know, when you go to buy a dress, you have the clerk helping you pull out different articles and whatnot. So you need a planner when you're going and making this investment of
travel. Deborah, I know that there are certain places where the water quality might be different, or just that it has organisms in it that our bodies might not be immune to. If somebody's going to travel to a certain place, is there a way that you are able to look up what the water quality is, or reviews about the water quality? Because I know my brother-in-law several years ago, I'm trying to think if it was Germany, it was some country that he went to, and he got very, very sick because they told him, before he left, they said, don't drink the water. And so he didn't drink the water, but then he wasn't thinking, you know, he brushed his teeth. You know, you have running water, you brush your teeth, you rinse your mouth. But he got really, really sick. And then they found out, oh, you brushed your teeth with the water. You shouldn't have brushed your teeth. But he didn't think about not drinking the water also means don't brush your teeth in the water. And apparently the people who live there, either they're immune to whatever is in the water, or they already know to just use bottled water to brush your teeth. Is there a way to know, like, if you're an American and you go to Poland, you're going to get sick, or if you're American, you go to Liberia, you're going to get sick, or if you're American, you go to France, you drink the water, you're going to get sick because your body probably isn't acclimated to it. I mean, is there a way to know those things, or is there a list of, you know, don't drink the water kind of places that they're traveling?
Typically, if you are traveling into another country, you definitely want to question the water quality. And again, that planning stage, if you are a person who has challenges with that, you would definitely contact them and ask them about the water. I know there are some countries that definitely let you know, don't drink the water. Most foreign countries, I would not drink the water. You take bottled water, and you, even with the shower heads now, you know, you want to be careful with the water coming down in your pores if you are typically susceptible to germs of that nature. But, yeah, if you have a challenge with water and your health, has been challenged with it, you definitely ask. But most foreign countries, their water system is different. There are some places in the United States that the water system is different. And
I've been aware of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course,
right here in our state, there are places where the water service is different. You don't drink the water.
Yeah.
So,
for Flint. And, you know, Flint had that problem with Flint, where they were actually using water from a river that had not been purified. Water filtration system. Well, Zelda has joined us on Facebook Live with a comment. She said, Grand Rising, beautiful queen, sisters. And she said, great information is needed. And she said, I read about the sisters being robbed at an Airbnb. Ooh, she said, thanks for sharing. So now, security in an Airbnb, even if it's several people, I guess those who, and probably will have some people who've done the business on at some point, but I guess there's some level of a security clearance you have to go through if you're going to be living in an Airbnb, just to make sure that the other people who might have keys and access to it, or even access to you in your room, if you're like in a place where there's more than one family group sharing, there's a lot more accessibility.
Yeah. Well, security, they don't check. Nobody checked who I was. They checked the credentials of the person who was renting the facility, but it was 11 ladies, and no one checked who I was. They don't know who I was past the person next door. But as with anything else, you want to make sure that you are safe. You understand? So excuse me, I went every night. I went and checked all the doors and windows. Now, in this particular property we were in, the windows, they asked you not to open the windows, okay? So that was part of the rules. That was on the rule sheet. Do not open the windows, and that was okay. But we had four entry doors, and there was just one main entry door. All the rest of them were glass entry doors. They had locks, and they had alarms on them, and I think the alarms were because of the pool access that there was. But we had to make sure that everything was locked up. And, of course, you know, we're at the mercy of whoever, because I think anybody could have cracked the window and unlocked the door and came in. I don't know if there were hidden cameras in the house. And I would have cameras in my house, not in the bedroom or the bathroom areas, but I would definitely have cameras in the common areas for security. And around the perimeter for security if I had an Airbnb or a home rental or some sort of that for my security. It was a combination lock on our door. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a key. It was a combination lock. That also was something. But just like when you go to any motel, or a hotel, or anywhere, there's security that you have to maintain for yourself. You got to take care of yourself, point blank. You got to know how to care of yourself. And I'm not saying just because you're a open carry state and you have a carry license in your state that you can go to another state and open carry. Remember, we had a show about that. Our police officer that was on talking about carrying weapons across state lines and how they're not allowed. So you have to be careful with that. Sure. Absolutely. Security is always a factor wherever you are.
That is true.
Wherever you go. So you have to be aware of that. Let me give our number yet again, because we're going into our last 30 minutes. Oh, my gosh. This conversation, that's why I said part one. This conversation is definitely key. But if you have a question, please call us at 1-515-605-9325 and press 1 to talk to us about what we have going on here at the Female Solution. And hold on, let's do some more commercial breaks.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato. Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Welcome back. We have a guest, another caller, 770-654. Please announce yourself, your name, and where you're calling from, your concern about this topic.
I'm Nanette Wingard. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm Nanette Wingard.
Oh,
I'm wonderful.
Lynette Wingard, is that the name? Okay. And where are you from, Lynette?
And I live in Texas, and I'm originally from California.
Ah, great.
But I've lived all over.
That is great.
Welcome to the call. Now, do you have a question or concern about any of our topics of today?
Well, I got the invite in reference to hotel versus, was it AM? I couldn't find it back in my phone, so I had to call next for the number again. That was the topic for today?
The Airbnb, yes.
Yeah, versus
yes.
Hotel.
Yes, we were talking about the differences in hotels and Airbnbs, and I find that Airbnb is great to fellowship, but if I'm on vacation and I don't want to do anything, I don't want to clean or cook or anything like that, the hotel or resort line is best for me. What do you think about that?
I agree. I am a foodie, and I love traveling all over the world, which I've been blessed to do tours, and I have done the other choice. When I was waiting for my home to be built. And like you said, it entailed me meeting other people that I didn't even know that was living right next to me in the Airbnb. And also, like you said, if I'm going and I'm planning to cook for a getaway, that is good. But when I go on vacation, I am time to shut down, or if I'm doing a retreat, I want to be wined and dined and loved on by that hotel from beginning to end.
That's right.
And eat.
I love it. And part of knowing what you want and planning, that's something else that we're saying. Planning is so important as to what you want to do. When you get ready to plan for a vacation, whether it's next year, next month, whenever, you still have to plan. So that is
yes.
a very important attribute to traveling and enjoying yourself.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so very much. We have another caller. I want to open up your mic. Now, I'm going to keep your mic open so you can continue to join in the conversation. But I'm going to open up the mic for 314-381. Welcome. Could you share with us your name, where you're calling from, and your concern or question about this topic? Welcome.
Yeah, it's Bianchi calling. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm sorry. What's your name?
Name is Bianchi.
Bianchi?
Bianchi, P-I-A-N-K-I. You know, you seem like you had some interesting topics on travel.
Yeah.
And I guess you were making mention of a hotel. I can tell you a lot about travel on the African continent. And some do's
continent.
And don'ts. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that out of your scope of discussion?
Well, we only have a few moments left in the show. So if you have something you want to share quickly, certainly come on in.
Well, let me say this. You're talking about windows. You don't want to leave your window open. You don't have to stay on the ground floor. You can stay up 34th, 5th floor. In some countries, for a simple reason, the monkeys can climb up the wall and go in your room and take your purse. And they have done
it.
They,
which country is this that has monkeys that may rob you?
Well, any country where it have monkeys that around the hotels.
East or
they
West
have, they,
what about in urban areas, say like Nigeria? Because
don't
I
make
have
no difference.
Don't
make no difference. They can come into the urban areas too in some places. Now you talk.
So,
yeah, they will. They come in.
If the windows
yeah,
don't have screens, not advisable to have them open.
Well, even if they got screens, they'll tear screens out. And you don't want to leave them on your table if you're doing outdoor dining. Not only the monkeys, but the crows will come take your stuff.
Whoa!
Your phone. Yeah, your phone. If you got like a little while, they fly off with that.
Wow, have you experienced something like that?
No, I knew. I was taught better.
Oh, okay.
I was taught. Now another thing.
Never thought about it.
The bacteria in these countries is what your system is not used to. So it's not only
yeah.
the water. You got to drink bottled water,
mm-hmm.
which the dust that you breathe too. Now,
good.
I know a lot of blacks that don't want to take shots, which is okay, because we used to be able to take that exemption form. Dr. Africa had one in the back of his book, and we fill that out and show our religious exemption.
Yeah.
And put it in your passport along with a yellow card. The yellow card was a yellow fever shot, and they
yeah.
would let you through.
Okay.
And they
well,
still
you know,
should be doing.
Sora, when I went to Liberia, there were some people in our party. I went there for the, I think it was 1994 Conference of Mayors held in Monrovia, Liberia. And there were some people in our delegation that did not want to get vaccinated because there were several different shots you had to take. And they did, I think, fill out an exemption. But there was something. I think you have to do if you. I don't know if it's a some kind of waiver form or something that they had to show where the country wasn't going to be responsible if they caught malaria or something because they weren't vaccinated. Is there some kind of?
Well, yeah. If they give you something to sign, go ahead and sign it. If that's your purpose. Now, malaria ain't no joke. But see, the thing about malaria, and I think I've had malaria, you don't know. But you can contract it there at that country, and you can go to another country or even come back to your states, and months later it would flare up. And the danger in that, especially in the states, because if you go to the hospital and you're incoherent, they don't know what to look for.
Yeah.
Because that's the last thing they would suspect, you catch malaria in Detroit or Chicago.
Yeah. I had a friend who traveled with malaria, but they did recover. So I think people don't know it's something that you can catch but recover from with proper care.
Oh, and yeah, you can. You can.
And Zelda says about...
So do you advise the shot then?
Pardon me?
So do you advise to get the shot?
I don't advise nobody to get anything unless they want to, because I know what I don't do. I can only tell you what I don't do. And, you know, we different. All human beings are different, even in this country. Blacks are not the same in this country biologically in other ways. Another thing, you can get bacteria just breathing the air or the dust, especially if you're going down the road, and especially if you go in the city, the dust on the streets, you breathe that up, then you know it's going to get you. Now, the results will probably be diarrhea, and that's the most serious that I have seen.
Oh, wow. Now, you said Zelda had something to share.
Well, she said about the water, you know, and brushing your teeth with water that some places might not be safe. She said brushing your teeth with the water still jeopardizes you because water is in your skin and the organs immediately.
Absolutely. The water in your – you can't brush your teeth with the local water until you've been in this place many times or for a while. You can shower in the local water, but you got to use antibacterial soap.
Yeah,
that you bring from the state.
And you know, regarding some of the water contamination, she said SusanEssentials.com has water systems for those family, for the whole family, which might be something if you're going to take your family to an Airbnb at a place where the water is not safe. She said someone from Michigan needs to know about that because, you know, Flint still has that problem. I remember they still have the pipe situation. And so the people, I think they're still having to use bottled water, and that's right here in the country.
Well,
right,
people use bottled water in every city because they've been conditioned to do so. Actually, it's 3,000 communities that got worse water than Flint. You just don't hear about those.
Yeah, right here in Crete. But we have one more. We have another guest on the line that I'm going to open their mic up.
And I got a couple more things to hit you with.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Thank you. But
7-5,
your name and your comment about this topic. Welcome.
Hello, Jabor. This is Dolores from Henderson, Nevada. How are you?
Welcome. Thank you for being here. And
thank you for inviting. I just have a couple things I wanted to say. One is do a checklist for yourself when you're traveling to make sure you take everything with you, especially your passport. It should be the first one on your list. And taking cash is good also versus your credit card all the time. And if you're going to use your credit card, make sure you contact your institution, especially if you're traveling out the country, to let them know you are going to use your card or your banking card. And also, ladies, wear that costume jewelry versus the real diamonds when you're traveling. You know what you have. You don't have to expose it all the time. So those are some of the things I wanted to say also.
Thank you.
Yeah, a person can shake your hand and take your ring off your finger.
Oh, yes, definitely. So costume jewelry.
Yes, they will. That
you're absolutely right, sir. I'm here in Vegas. I've been drinking bottled water since I've been here, even before I moved here. Almost 20 years ago, so bottled water is very good. And we went to Dominican Republic, the board and all of us, and we were really excited. But we were also glad that our guide, on our way to the hotel, she told us to make sure we drink the bottled water, of course, and use it also to brush our teeth. So like you were saying, I don't care where you go, even domestic, use bottled water.
And you can't eat in the chop shops because that bacteria gets you again. You got to eat in the hotel. where they have pasteurized milk, if you're going to put milk in your coffee or something like that. Your passport, get a copy of your passport and carry it around with you, not the real thing. If you with a group and also get your visas that you go into another country, get those visas in the States. Don't get them over there. Go to the embassies of the countries that you go into and get visas and have them put in your passport here in America. For you men that like to go out and have your hormones going, you don't want to be having sex with foreign women. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they have that local bacteria that will affect you. It may not be a STD, but it can be something else. I mean, this is just natural. These people live in a different environment, especially if you go into these primitive areas, out in the what we call the bush. It don't bother them, but it sure will bother you, and that goes for the females also. And see, bacteria reside on your skin. And you have viruses on your skin that attack the bacteria that's trying to enter into your body. And both of those are foreign to you.
Yes. Also back
now,
to, make sure you also make a
about the passport that take a picture of it on your phone. So you have and email it to you. So you'll have an electronic copy of it.
Yeah, you should always have something just in case you get robbed of everything or lose everything, because you can accidentally leave something in a cab. What do you do if you have lost your purse or your wallet in a cab and you don't have anything to show where you are? So you got to be able to go someplace and pull up an electronic ID to verify who you are. And Zelda says Brother Pianchi's always on point, so she agrees with what you say about that.
You can get some carbon pills if your stomach becomes. I can guarantee you're gonna get diarrhea, and the severity of it depends on what you do, and also depends on your well being. But you can get stuff like carbon and other medication that you can buy here that's good for diarrhea. Now, once you go to a particular country, because I drunk water out of the Nile River. We fill up our water bottle, a liter water bottle, because some people want to bring that souvenir home. And I've known people to mistakenly drink it rather than their bottle of water because the water is so clear out of the Nile. But even it has pathogens that, that can cause some problems.
So is diarrhea a sign that you have contracted some type of a parasite or bacteria?
Right. Diarrhea is something that is a parasite, something foreign in your stomach that your body is trying to get rid of. And also, I know people like to put their feet in the river and water. That can be dangerous, too, because some parasites can enter through your skin.
Yeah, especially if you have some kind of nick or cut. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so true.
So
oh, my goodness.
People leave here saying, Yeah, I'm African. I'm an African. I say, okay, Africa's going to tell you who you are.
Also make a copy of your passport and leave it here in the States.
Yeah.
Always leave a copy of it here, because I had a situation that someone went to Jamaica and they lost their passport, and I was able to fax a copy to them because they had left a copy here in the States. And they was able to come home. But just that's another idea.
You,
now, when you go to Israel.
You were their emergency contact?
Yes.
Exactly.
When I go to Israel, I normally enjoy going and getting in the water. I've been able to float in the Dead Sea, and I did not come back with diarrhea or anything from that country.
Yeah, you don't got used to it. Another thing, too, if you go in with a group, you want to check in with the U.S. Embassy. What's going on with you.
Yes. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, and this show will be archived. So if you missed any of it, make sure that you go back to blogtalkradio.com, The Female Solution, and reap the benefits of what was shared not only with this show, but the previous shows. And as I reminded everyone, that we are here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Central Time to 9 a.m. And on Saturdays, 12 to 2 p.m. And on Sundays, 7 to 9. We're here every day sharing the female solution with everyone, and it is abundant that we need help with each other. And I'm so glad that my co-host that came on to share your insights. I certainly appreciate everything. We're going to start preparing to get out of here. Do I have any final thoughts from you?
I got one more thing to tell you. If you got, when you're taking a shower, make sure you put your lock on your door, because some servants can come in your room while you're taking a shower and rob you. Don't keep your money in particular places. Put it in an obvious place, like in your shoe. And, put socks in your shoe or something like that if you got money of value. And like the lady said, don't wear no valuable jewelry. Get some costume jewelry.
That was Dolores from Henderson, Nevada. Dolores, do you have any final words to say?
Yes, I was going to say those fruity drinks that have ice in them, believe me, that's water. So
yeah,
in foreign countries, be careful drinking your drinks with ice.
Mm-hmm. And also the fruits and lettuce is washed with local water, so you got to be careful with that too.
If you're drinking a drink and the ice is made with the local water and the local water can make you sick, so does that mean you should get your drinks without ice?
No, the alcohol will kill it all. Don't worry.
Yeah, the kind of drinks you be drinking, it kill everything.
Nanette, do you have anything to share?
I appreciate all the education. I do retreats called Rest, Renew, Restore. And you got to be nervous at first, but you also pray. And then, like you say, be mindful that of the items that people are educating with, but also remember just to enjoy yourself. Once you finally got to a destination that normally you have to fly so many hours, you don't want to be worried. But if you're educated, that is wisdom. And then after you've gotten educated, enjoy that wonderful time.
That's right. Naima?
Your passport is up to date. And make sure you have enough bottled water. And, of course, your issue is going to be you can't take water in the airport, so make sure you pack it in your suitcase and not your carry-on bag. Pack your bottled water in your suitcase so you can get it on the airplane.
But carry an empty container so you can fill up once you get into the airport.
Yep. Carry an empty container.
Thank you all. Blessings to you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
TIF.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jared. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Great. Okay. End episode.
Oh.